So I'm looking at a lovely document. It's got an Australian government logo in the top left corner, and the next, just next to that, it has a logo for Closing the Gap, which is the aim of what this document is offering. It's a fact sheet that the Australian government has put out about a thing called township leasing. This is something the federal government has actively been trying to do, to get 99-year leases of Aboriginal community lands in the Northern Territory from traditional landowners. So they would grant the government a 99-year lease. Why would they want to do that? Well, the government says this is a really good way to increase investment, commercial development of this land, and then maybe even have a path to home ownership for Indigenous people. And it, in a way, it echoes the kind of thing that the Forest Report, yes, from Twiggy Forest, was calling for when he said that Aboriginal land could be privatised so that it could be bought and sold. And I suppose then it becomes an asset and an income stream, all of those sorts of things. Is this a good development? Or are there downsides to it? Well, someone who's outspoken on this and in a position to have a strong view on it is Ian Viner, who you might remember as the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs in the Fraser government, who now practices as a barrister in Perth and played a similar role in his political career in the drafting of traditional land title legislation. He joins me now. Ian, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, Waleed.
What are your concerns?
Well, my concerns are that it fundamentally takes ownership of traditional Aboriginal land from the traditional owners and the communities who live on the land to the Commonwealth, which seems to me to be really quite ironic when the whole purpose of the Land Rights Act in 1976 was to grant to Aboriginal people in the Territory for the first time real ownership of their traditional lands.
But that's ownership then that is theirs to do with as they wish. And if they believe that by granting a 99-year lease, they can earn income, there can be development that otherwise wouldn't be able to be attracted to that sort of land, isn't that a benefit?
Well, it really depends upon whether they truly consent to what is being granted to them. And that underlying that is whether the community and the traditional owners really know what the full implications of a 99-year lease, and in particular that they will be giving away forever control of their historic traditional lands. That is not fundamentally a benefit to the Aboriginal people.
And is it unambiguously clear, though, that they would be giving away their traditional land rights? Because it's a 99-year lease, and as I understand it, there are mechanisms for giving leases of traditional lands that don't extinguish that traditional ownership.
Well, that's right. Under the Land Rights Act, there were provisions deliberately built into the Act to enable leases to be granted, but not leases of a kind which, in reality and really in legality, give away ownership of your land. A 99-year lease to the Commonwealth puts it totally under the control of the Commonwealth. So for the traditional owners, land trust to remain on the title is really only nominal and means nothing. And the fact of the matter is that under the Land Rights Act at present, the traditional owners and the communities can keep control and ownership of their land and grant leases to people for housing occupation, for business purposes and the like. So it's a fallacy for the Commonwealth to say we're going to close the gap by 99-year leases, and worse than that, the Forest recommendations that Aboriginal land be privatised to be bought and sold will mean that they will lose their land very, very quickly. The land grabbers will move in, offer, you know, baubles and bangles, and then go and do what they want to with the land.
It sounds like we run very quickly then into a philosophical disagreement about the best way to go about closing the gap, or confer, even beyond closing the gap, confer dignity upon Indigenous people.
I don't think it's a philosophical argument. If you accept and understand exactly what the Land Rights Act did and the traditional freehold ownership which was granted to Aboriginal people, it's not a matter of philosophy. It's a matter of reality.
No, but that act comes from a philosophy. I guess the philosophical disagreement I'm speaking of is this thing that seems to be emerging within Indigenous affairs that says that the era of trying to remedy the situation with the granting of rights, land rights and other kinds of rights, is over and has been a failure, and what needs to happen instead is the granting of real tangible assets and opportunities, so income and land and housing and these sorts of things.
Well, that proposition has to be directly confronted and rejected, because it's simply not true. If you put it in simple terms, Aboriginal ownership and control of their own lands is in their hands, and you have lots and lots of people going around in Australia, from politicians to the Andrew Forrests of this world, who've got bright ideas of what is good for Aboriginal people, but their idea of it is to remove that ownership and control of traditional lands from the Aboriginal people themselves and their representatives, like the land councils.
So how then do you think we should go about looking after the hard aspects of this? So, for example, the government's argument here is that by granting these leases, you provide sureties to banks, you enable Indigenous communities to borrow against their land, you allow this influx of assets and capital to Indigenous communities that they otherwise couldn't get. Can you see some other way of providing or conferring those benefits?
That drives right at the heart of it. Do you convert the present system of traditional ownership of lands into a system by which their land can be traded and sold, encumbered, lost through bankruptcy and so on forever? Or do you accept that these Aboriginal communities, whose land it is, be left in a position where they can use it, develop it, and live on it as they want to? There is a fundamental divide there.
Yeah, indeed, there is, which is that philosophical difference, I suppose, I was trying to identify earlier. It's one of those issues where you really got to watch the detail, and it evolves quite slowly in some ways, and you can easily miss things. So it's been really great to have the chance to speak to you about this, Ian, and thank you for bringing to our attention some of this detail.
My word, I'm very pleased to be able to do that, and to your listeners.
Ian Viner, Minister for Aboriginal Affairs in the Fraser Government, who practices as a barrister in Perth, so this is kind of his professional stomping ground. I wonder if you were aware of this, or if this has piqued your interest, or indeed if you have any reactions to it. 0418 226 576, or Twitter at RNDrive. We'll let Ali hit till 8. Thank you very much for the responses you've given me so far. For example, it's called Skin in the Game, and it's a good idea, says one text. Tony, on the other hand, says this isn't about dignity, it's about plunder. Another one says, do not try to be philosophical, you are sensationalist. I don't know if that's advice or commentary or whatever it is, but thanks for playing along. 0418 226 576. 7:20. Hey, while I'm here, see if you can tell me who wrote this.